Jason Capper here, asking you to help us save the C-53 Beat City Baby from the Scrapper's Torch. Folks, every dollar goes directly towards the restoration so that we can fly her again. Donate now at www.vintagewingsinc.com. That's vintagewingsinc.com. Our time is limited, and the need is now. So again, please go to www.vintagewingsinc.com. And help us save our C-53 Beat City Baby.
Live from the land of the free, because of the brave, this is Warbird Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. Matt Jolly here with you from Warbird Radio Live. Glad to be back in the nation's capital here and coming to you live tonight. From the sixth floor, not of the Acme building, unfortunately, but nonetheless, back here in our studios. We're glad to be back here with you. Kind of a rainy day here in D.C., off and on, but still right in the middle of summer. Many of you just got back, as we did, from EAA's Air Venture, the sort of, it's the gathering place for aviators from all over the world. And one of the highlights, the true highlights of this year, of this year's Air Ventures was the Martin Mars. And joining us now, hopefully on a clear connection, is Mr. Wayne Coulson. Good evening, Wayne. How are you tonight? Can you hear us
okay?
Hi,
good afternoon, Matt.
Well, good afternoon, and thanks for being here. Tell us about your experience with the Martin Mars at Air Venture.
We had a wonderful time at EAA, Matt. It was our first time to take the airplane out there. You know, the last 57 years, it's been fighting fire here on the West Coast, between Vancouver Island and British Columbia and throughout the Pacific Northwest. And it was our first break in the action, so we have so many aviation fans out there. We decided to bring it to Oshkosh, where we had an outstanding time with the aircraft and meeting the crowd.
Well, it was a great experience for everybody. Now, let's rewind a little bit, because as you said, this is a historic aircraft and a long history of firefighting. Before that, though, it served in the United States military and abroad. Seven of these giant seaplanes were built. Tell us what's so important about, I guess, the Hawaii Mars.
Well, after the bombing of Pearl Harbor, they converted these from long-range bombers to long-range freighters for the U.S. Navy. And the original five, they started running out of Alameda, California, and they would do a run from Alameda to San Diego and out to the Hawaiian Islands. And between the fleet of five aircraft, they would do about five trips a week, running back and forth between parts, supplies, people. One had 84 litters in it, so we had it had a big presence, certainly during the World War II era and into the South Korea War.
Yeah, big airplane, can carry a lot. A longer wingspan, this is what I thought was so impressive, a longer wingspan than a 747. This is a big airplane.
It is a big airplane, and in fact, it had a world record of 301 passengers and retained that till 1967, when the first flight of the Boeing 747 surpassed it. So, it was the biggest warbird built during the World War II era. And, for all the warbird fans out there, this was the largest one ever built.
Well, I loved meeting you and the crew that night at Theater in the Woods. We had a great time, and I'm glad you could come on this show, because we can dive a little deeper here into your own background. I mean, how did you get obsessed with these big airplanes? Because clearly you have a passion for these big warbirds like the Mars and obviously your C-130s. Where did your love of this come from?
Well, we're a timber company out on the West Coast here on Vancouver Island. And in my younger years, when I was 17 years old, it started. We had a forest fire out on our property, and we called in the Mars. And, you know, those airplanes, you can hear them before you can see them coming. And it was a roar in the hills and through the valleys. And, they came in one at a time with 7,200 gallons each. And 14,000 gallons later on top of that fire, it was out. And we were starting to pull hose and mop up. And it was just an awesome experience to see these aircraft. And then over the years, of course, around this part of the world, there had been many fires, and all through British Columbia. And everybody has a Mars story. And, you know, with a four-acre drop pattern, and they were the largest water-scooping airplane, certainly in the world, still is, but the largest water bomber in the world up until the mid-2000s when the DC-10 and then the 747 came out with 11,000 and then 20,000 gallons. So, you know, just the incredible power of that force of water was amazing. And when we had the opportunity to buy them in 2007, we did.
Wow. And it's been a sort of a storied history ever since. You know, your company there has put a lot of money into these aircraft. When you look at the cockpit and the photographs of the maintenance that is done on the, I mean, these are truly well cared for, well loved aircraft, are they not? I mean,
well, they are. I mean, when we bought them, there was a consortium of five timber companies owned them, and all they did was, you know, spend money and take care of them. You know, it's hard to believe, but in 25 years ago, they put accelerometers on these aircraft and strain gauges all through that body. So we've been looking at best practices. So long before we bought them, they were in outstanding shape. And what we did is, because we've been in the heavy lift helicopter business with the Sikorsky S-61, when we bought those aircraft, we knew we needed to have multiple markets. We wanted to get into the Super Bowl of firefighting, which was down in Southern California. So we decided to upgrade the airplanes, the one aircraft, the Hawaii Mars, which is the bottom drop, and you know, we put the Garmin 600 synthetic vision in the aircraft to protect the crew and the aircraft for, you know, roaring in and out of those valleys that, you know, people didn't know where we were going. And although we had a lead aircraft, sometimes you lose them in the smoke. So we put some additional avionics in the aircraft to make sure the guys were safe.
Well, and the flight crew seems to really adore this aircraft. You had a number of them with you at AirVenture. We got to meet a lot of them, and they all had these, I think, the personality types that are, I was trying to explain it to someone later. I said, you know, these men were sort of the best of the barnstormers, and then exactly what you would expect as a firefighter. Some sort of brash bravado there, indeed. What do you know about firefighters who fly? Give us sort of a synopsis on this, because they are an interesting breed.
You know, yeah. Well, certainly, Matt, the people associated, and it's been for, you know, since the 60s, the people that have been associated with these airplanes just love the airplanes, for one. I mean, they've been love of aviation, number one, and then the two, second is firefighters. And, you know, these people, they've chosen in the path of life, and it's all firefighters and first responders, to put others ahead of themselves. And that's the wonderful thing about the people associated in this business is, you know, they're out there to give more than they take. And when you put a group of special people like we have together, where, you know, these guys are in their 60s and some in their 70s that are like 20-year-olds with this airplane, it's amazing to see. And, you know, for the younger generation, you know, coming into aviation, you know, these guys really are aviators. They love and have passion for the airplane and for the business. And, you know, they're the first ones. I mean, nobody wishes wildfire on anybody, but when there is a wildfire, we just want to be there first.
Well, absolutely. Now tell us what's going on with the Mars, because you have two of them. You have Philippine Mars, and then you also have the Hawaii Mars. And it's time, as you've said, they're 71-plus years old now, and it's time to sort of bring in the new fleet. So what's going on with these airplanes?
Yeah, so we've transitioned now away from the Mars, and, you know, we've been in pretty much every boardroom in the world that has groups that deal with the wildfire agencies in government. And, you know, we've heard the same thing. It's time to move on. So we've transitioned our fleet now into C-130s, and we have two operational and two more being tanked up. So the Mars, we're now looking for its next home. We put them up for sale. We're working with the Philippine Mars, which with the Pensacola Naval Museum. We're hoping that we can do some sort of relationship with them. Of course, I've been at it for 5 years, and I've been saying the same thing for 5 years. So we're really hoping to get something done with them. The Hawaii Mars, you know, it's the upgraded one, and certainly the one we're talking to some sponsors about. We're talking to some individuals about whether or not they like to purchase the aircraft and continue to work air shows, or you know, maybe have a different vision for it than ourselves. But it's just too good an airplane to put into a museum. However, that's our backup plan, and we've talked to multiple museums around the world that have interest in the Philippine Mars. We've taken the airplane, we've stripped it down, we've repainted it to the day it was delivered, the original markings and color. It was delivered in 1945, so it's actually just an immaculate-looking airplane.
Now, this is the Philippine Mars that of course, you're hoping can go to the museum. Is it still flyable? I mean, there's...
It is, yeah. Absolutely. Both aircraft are serviceable. You know, we did a major overhaul on the Philippine. We stripped it right down to bare metal and fabric and redid it all because, of course, we're going to the museum and we wanted to make sure that it's preserved forever. So we did our share in that and spent the necessary, you know, funds to make sure that that is a pristine airplane and it would last forever and still have that hope. So we're hoping that's the case for the Philippine. As far as the Mars goes, you know, we can fly that every day. I mean, it is a serviceable aircraft and just lots of fun to fly.
Now, for the folks that don't know, I thought this was an interesting question that came up. A lot of people have this misconception that these aircraft, they said, well, why don't they just land? And the answer is they cannot land on land and be used again.
Well, they'll land once, right?
Yeah, they land
once.
You're
not going to be able to take off with them.
Right.
But you're right. They're the largest seaplane next to the Spruce Goose, of course, that flew, you know, half a mile. But these were the largest seaplanes ever built.
Yeah, and they can't fly on land. They're not an amphibian airplane.
They're strictly a seaplane.
So they have beaching gear.
They're a big boat.
And the beaching gear actually float out to the airplane, as I understand it, and then they are fastened to the side of it where you can pull it out. And can the aircraft come out under its own power? Do you have to tow it out?
No, we have its own tug, but you're right. We float the gear. We float the gear out to it. We tug it in the gear out with a small boat. We bolt the gear on. It takes about an hour to put the both sides and the tail gear on. And then we have a process. We just drag her back into shore and hook it up to a large winch and winch her out of the water.
Tell us a little bit about the differences in the C-130 now and the Mars. Obviously, a more economical airplane to operate, I would hope, than a Martin Mars. What are the differences
in the firefighting, though?
I mean,
yeah, the first obvious thing is that one has gear. Of course, the C-130 is a land-based aircraft and is in a float plane. We have double the horsepower on the wings, so we got 20,000 horsepower on a C-130. Versus the Mars, it has 10,000 horsepower on the wing. Certainly a much smaller footprint of aircraft. We're roughly, I want to say we're about 140 wingspan by 140 length, somewhere in there. So it's versus the Mars, we got 200-foot wingspan by 130-foot long. So that Mars is pretty much all wing. And, you know, you can actually walk inside the wing of that Mars. And when they used to fly out to the Hawaiian Islands, they would have the smallest crew member have to go out and carry buckets of oil to those engines, and they'd shut one engine off, and he'd run out and oil her up, and then they'd fire it up again, and he would go and do the other one. So just amazing in that. So that's one of the major differences as well.
And again, not 71 years old. I mean, these are newer aircraft by the standard of warbirds. I do want to give our number out tonight, 478-787-4768. It's the number to call if you have a question for Wayne Coulson from Coulson Tankers there. And of course, you can answer it right now on the air. The free call from anywhere in the world is available via Skype. It's just Warbird Radio is the username to get on there. And I think people will have some questions when we throw this out there. The ultimate flying experience. This is so cool. You can actually go fly the Mars right now. What do they need qualification-wise to do that, other than, I'm guessing, a large bucket of cash?
Well, yeah, so what we did, Matt, is we've had so many inquiries over time to fly the airplane. We came up with a program. It's a two-day event. We call it the Ultimate Flying Experience, and for those fans interested in going and have a look, they can go on our website at www.ultimateflyingexperience.com. And what we do is we bring in around the world. They can come in. We do the first half a day is basically the standard operating procedures of the airplane. We then, the afternoon, we're doing water taxi and high-speed runs in the airplane. And then the next day, they actually go up and do some flying with the captain and the crew members, and we show you how we do a scoop, how we do a drop, and they're able to experience a couple hours in the airplane and 1 hour behind the wheel kind of flying it. And really, all they need is a pilot's license to be able to do that.
All right, so no special ratings or anything like that because there is a crew member on board that's qualified, but show up with your pilot's license and go fly.
Exactly right.
Yeah, how cool is that?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So obviously, this is
an expensive airplane. So we wanted to give everyone that experience, you know?
Yeah, and it's a costly experience, but it's a costly airplane to operate. And what does this thing burn per hour in oil and gas? And I say that hopefully correctly, though.
Yeah, we're burning when we're, it's interesting, so multiple burns. When we're cruising, we're about 500 gallons an hour. When we're taking off and landings in shorter spans, we can get up to 700. And when we're rock and rolling at four turns an hour, we're at 1,000 gallons an hour.
1,000
gallons
an hour.
That's a lot of fuel when we're busy. And she burns about 5 gallons of oil per engine per hour. So we're burning 20 gallons of oil. You know, when we took her down to Mexico, we were flying 8 hours a day every day. So we were going through a lot of gas and we're going through a lot of oil.
Yeah. You don't do that in a C-130. You don't.
No, there'll never be another airplane in the world that'll fly as many gallons of water in one single day. The record on this airplane, and it was the Hawaii Mars in the late 70s, was 225,000 gallons in 8 hours. I mean, that is just a massive amount. To put it in perspective, you know, when we were up in Lake Shasta in 2008, we were flying 155,000 gallons of water. We enhanced it with gel. In 7 hours, and the Reading air tanker base, the whole fleet was pumping about 60,000 gallons, and 8 MAFS units were doing about 65,000. So we were out producing, you know, probably in the neighborhood of, you know, 17 airplanes with one aircraft, just because we were in the right location. We had water really close to us in Lake Shasta. The fire was only 300 feet to 600 feet, AGL, the lake, and, you know, it was just hammering the fire. So, you know, this it's just an incredible aircraft given the right spot at the right time.
Well, well said, Wayne Coulson. And if folks have questions for you regarding purchasing this airplane, how is the best way for them to reach you?
You know, the best way is to probably to call our main office at 250-723-8118, or they can reach out to us on the website of the Ultimate Flying Experience. They can send a note through to me, and I'll get the message.
Well, I think it's a great idea, and I'm hopeful as well that one day Philippine Mars may be in Pensacola. But you know, I mean, the other aircraft, as we said, Philippine Mars, it is available. If someone wants to pony up for either of them, I'm guessing at this point you're hopeful it goes to the museum. But hey. The first one with the money, right? That's the way it works.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think there is a good trade deal available for the Philippine. And, you know, we've been contacted by people that would like to and have interest in purchasing the airplane and donating it, you know, as a legacy. So, you know, there is that. We are talking to some groups that have that vision as well because, you know, they are so special in the world of aviation.
I think it's just a really cool airplane. I would like to see it turned into, as I told you, a floating hotel where you could just get on it and fly anywhere in the world and have your, you know, your swimming pool right out the back end there. How cool would that be?
Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah, gallivant around the country. But one thing that people don't figure out is how you get fuel in it, and that's always a challenge, is it not? I mean, the logistics of this.
You know, we've actually mastered a lot of the challenges of operating that airplane. You know, we carry our own power reel with us. So we just power reel into shore with the small boat, plug into a tanker, and off we go. And, you know, the Philippine Mars now, it has enough gas to go to Hawaii and back. I mean, it carries a lot of fuel. I mean, we're touching 14,000 gallons. Of course, the Hawaii Mars is about half of that because they've taken the other half where the fuel was below the deck there and on the floor, and they've turned that into a big tank. So that 7,200 gallons that we fill of water used to be fuel. So it's good for about 9 hours of fuel on the Hawaii Mars.
Still an impressive amount of fuel and heck of a range. All right, so Philippines, the one that can go the distance. Mars can drop a ton of water wherever you want it. And that's really great.
That's right.
One question before I let you go that came in just now. Has there been any discussion in regards to retrofitting with turboprops on either of the aircraft to extend the life?
You know, Matt, we've talked about that many times over. Certainly, we've had customers come and go with that idea. I mean, can you imagine, you know, we put 20,000 horsepower on the wing, you would have yourself a rocket ship. But certainly doable. We did some preliminary engineering, the company before us did, and it's certainly doable. It would just be up to the customer. But probably that conversion, you know, you're looking at in the neighborhood of 8 to 10 million. For 8 to 10 million, I can buy other types of air tankers that will have a lot more longevity than that aircraft. So you'd be looking for a very specialized customer. You know, a VIP, he'd probably do that just to roar around, you know, down in the Bahamas with it. That'd be a hell of an airplane.
Oh, man, wouldn't that be better? I'd rather have that than some, you know, hopped up 737 or something. But, hey, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, Ryan, I'm glad you wrote in with that question. And listen, Wayne, again, it's Ultimate Flying Experience is the website. It's quick linked into the show's story today, so folks can find that out. I wish you the best of luck. I really do. And thank you
so much, Matt.
Well, thanks for bringing it to Oshkosh. It was truly impressive. I mean, it really was.
Well, it was an awesome time, and we like to thank all the people that took the time to come out and see us and talk to us, because we really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Wayne Colson, everyone, from the Martin Mars. You can find out more about him by clicking on the quick link in the show story. Thanks again, Wayne. We'll talk to you real soon.
Thank you, Matt.
All right. Folks, I can't thank Wayne enough for coming on tonight, but I want to change gears here for just a little while and talk to you about what we're going to be doing tonight, because there are a lot of things going tonight, including an all-new RC Scale Builders show, which is coming up here at the top of the hour, right at 9 o'clock East Coast time. We're happy to be back with you after being at Oshkosh and seeing a lot of folks out there. And something that really stood out in my own mind, and I wanted to bring this up tonight, really are the returning veterans. We have so many of them that are coming home, and right now we saw a lot of them at Oshkosh. In fact, I got to sit down with a few of my own friends. And as you know, the stories of our airmen, past and present, that is what this station is really all about. And I think that the most important thing to communicate here is that taking care of those veterans is our next step. We have been working, and I say we, the entire team here, at Warbird Radio has been talking about this idea and dialoguing about it, some of us longer than others. And so what we've decided to do is eventually take the broadcast portion of this station and turn it into a foundation, because we want to missionize the work that we're doing here. And so I would ask you to hang with us over the next few months, because there's going to be some great changes that happen. But one of those things is that we want to be able to do something about these vets that are returning. We helped out the Greatest Generation, and we're working right now with our Vietnam veterans in this country in a way that we haven't done in the past. And the folks who are coming home right now equally need help. And some of it can be handled by folks like you and me. And I think that is the important thing. So rather than just tell the stories, we want to do something about it. And one of the things that we want to do about it is provide some aftercare through non-chemical treatments of post-traumatic stress. This is something that is affecting folks, both young and old. And today we have the fortunate ability to treat this in a way that we haven't in the past. As you know, and I said this pretty deliberately, the non-chemical methods that are out there, I'm not saying the chemicals are bad, the medicines are great when done properly, but what we'd like to get behind here at the station is really an alternative to that, if possible, because the suicide rates are so high. And one guy that's doing that is the horse whisperer, Monty Roberts. And for those of you that don't know Monty Roberts, in the commercial break, take a look at this guy's website. It's quick linked in the show story. The work that Monty Roberts is doing, they made a movie about the guy. He's written the book, The Horse Whisperer. I mean, his list of credentials just go on and on and on and on and on. So what I would say, take a look at his website, and when we come back, we will have the legend himself, and I mean that, Monty Roberts. I'll play the interview for you right after this. Stay with us.
This is Warbird Radio.
Jason Capper here, asking you to help us save the C-53 Beat City Baby from the Scrapper's Torch. Folks, every dollar goes directly towards the restoration so that we can fly her again. Donate now at www.vintagewingsinc.com. That's vintagewingsinc.com. Our time is limited, and the need is now. So again, please go to www.vintagewingsinc.com. And help us save our C-53 Beat City Baby.
Live from the land of the free, because of the brave, this is Warbird Radio.
Yeah, welcome back here to Warbird Radio Live. Matt Jolly with you. My thanks again to Wayne Coulson for coming on. And I did. I did mean to get on my soapbox. I mean, this is something that is, it's going to affect each and every one of us, especially you and me, for the foreseeable future, how we deal with these vets and the treatment thereof. We all love the aircraft. That's why we're listening to this. But at the end of the day, the aircraft are just props. It's the stories that they tell that are so important. So by creating this foundation, we hope that we can not only preserve more of those stories, and we'll have more news on this in the future as things continue to develop with this. But we really hope that we can missionize this and provide some scholarships for these treatment programs that are already in existence. And you heard the commercial there for Jason Capra and the Beach City Baby. How wonderful would it be to be able to help these guys out and sort of form a scholarship? You and I, we're a family here. I mean, really and truly, we're all a family that listen to this station. And I think there's a lot of good stuff that we can do. Maybe we don't want to join up with a big organization, but maybe you want to help us help some of these fine people that we love to hear about. We're going to do that, and we're going to do great things like we've been doing, but this time, you can get involved, and I think that's going to be the difference. The best part about this station, you talk to Mike Chilson, you talk to any of the guys who host a show here, is that it's the relationships that means so much to them. Monty Roberts, this guy blew me away. I'm not a horse guy by any means. I grew up around him. In Texas, grew up around cattle and all that kind of stuff. But when it comes to being a cowboy or a professional horseman, you know, I know where the head is and I know where the tail is, but that's about it. This guy, he is a master. I mean a master horseman. And I say that in a way that I think anyone can recognize a person who is at the top of their game and at the top of the field. When Monty Roberts walked into the round pen the day that I saw him there at his facility, something struck me about this man. Something changed in me when I watched him work, and I thought to myself, this guy is somebody that will do and continue to do great things. And it's no secret. I mean, he was the Queen's horse trainer. I mean, this guy is just known all over the world. And so he is so generous. He saw us there. And we told him about the station, what we're trying to do. And he invited us up to the house right then. We went up to his house. His daughter, we met with his daughter, who's doing terrific things with their Horse Sense and Healing program. And they're already operating. And believe it or not, the biggest problem that they have right now is finding veterans, first responders included, who want to come to this program. They need our help, and they need your help tonight. So if you know somebody that is suffering from PTSD, from post-traumatic stress, as another friend of ours calls it, he said it's not a disorder, but it is post-traumatic stress, and anybody can have it, but especially the vets and our first responders who are dealing with stuff just like Dallas and all of these other horrible events that have been going on. I mean, undoubtedly, some of these men and women are truly suffering. So if you know somebody like that, listen to Monty Roberts and this quick interview with him, and then send me an email. It's matt@warbirdradio.com, and we will put you in touch with Monty Roberts and his team. Here it is with Monty Roberts.
My name is Monty Roberts. Way back in 1954, I was a volunteer in a place called Silver City, and Silver City was a bunch of little house trailers, and they were aluminum, so they shone in the sunlight. But they brought them back with about a 4-foot hallway between these, and they had about 400 of them on my university. And I was a first responder. And these people came back big-time problems, post-traumatic stress. And I used, I was a first responder, so I didn't get a chance to do that much with them, and I hated every minute of it. But I had a few favorites that I took to the horses, and I started doing funny things with them, and a lot of it was by accident, because it was just a join-up that, you know, I said, come on, you try one kind of thing. Holy moly, I discovered that when they get trust back, and they watch this big half-ton of animal trust them, then they can give trust too, and they just break down. It's a whole new thing for them. You can't go to war and then get a slap on the back and say, thank you for your service, go be a good guy, trust your boss, trust your wife, trust your kids, and live like a civil human being, thank you so much, and they leave them be. And it's very difficult to go back to civilian life after you've been deep into war. And so I don't say that any horse program is wrong. They're all good. But what we do is not just meeting a horse and loving a horse and walking around, you know, with the flowers and the out of doors. It's another thing. They have a job to do.
Tell me about your horse training. Tell me about the horse training that you do with veterans here. Specifically.
Yeah, we use horses that are safe or as safe as we can. And they learn how to send the horse away. That's a flight animal. And then go through the maneuvers that cause the horse to want to be back with them. And then they go, as I say, they go passive. And they go through certain body gestures that cause the horse to come to them. Horses can't lie. And we all know they can't lie. If you see a flight animal doing something, he's doing it because he wants to. Not because you've trained him to do it. So horses can't lie, and they come to them. I've got stories I could tell you for a month about things that have happened with the military people that are just off the charts.
Your daughter is standing here beside us here, and she doesn't know she's going to be on, but I just thought about this. You have several programs that are coming up here just in the near future for veterans. And of course, it's a free-of-charge program if they can go through the application process for folks struggling with PTSD. Mm-hmm. How does that work? How does the application process work?
Yeah, I would call it a registration process, really. But the only thing that we worry about is if they're worried about something. So we have a veteran who has joined us, Stephen Harrison. He works for almost nothing, but he does take the phone calls and make sure that it is an appropriate person for the program, meaning that there's not too much TBI. We ask that they are not on drugs when they come. And we're not looking for thrill seekers. We're looking for people who really want to heal.
And you're a legend in the horse world, and that's no secret. Everybody knows Monty Roberts. The books, the films, the videos, the university that you've set up. What is your love, though, for these veterans that sort of pushed you into this and allowed you to do this?
Well, my whole thing really started out with trying to level the playing field for children that were abused by adults, and because I was so badly physically abused as a child. And that just built itself into all the maladies that people have. I am not a medical doctor, nor do I want to deal with any medical issues, traumatic brain injury, and that kind of thing. I don't go there, and I don't try to step on someone else's territory. But when it comes to the flight animal and how the flight animal can help you with psychological problems caused by stress, whether you're a cop, whether you're a father that's been through something, or a military person that's been to war, I can help. And we're running about 86% that check a box that says they've had dramatic improvement in 3 days. I never dreamed that was possible. Never dreamed it. Believe me, I stand there going, wow, it shocks me. I'm not into it deep enough. We've only done, I guess it's close to 1,000 now, military people. But I'm still blown away by some of the things. Randy from Georgia, who was a horseman in competition in his early years, and came back and he had a surgery where they used ketamine as an anesthetic, and it brought back memories to him. It's one of the things that they say about ketamine. It can do that to you. And he goes home and beats his wife up, and he goes home and beats his children up. And he's going to lose his job as a principal of a high school. And his wife said, look, I've been reading about this crazy guy in California, and you did horses, so why don't we go out there? No, I'm not going in. Well, she got him out here because she said, I'm out of here if you don't. And when the instant he walked into the room, I knew I had a horseman on my hands. And then he did this, we'll call it namby-pamby join-up for him, And then we sat down for a one-on-one discussion, and he said, it's a fraud. It's okay, but it's a fraud. And it's a cute little thing you have going here, but, you know, it's a fraud. And I said, well, then I belong in jail. Well, go volunteer to go to jail then, because it's a fraud. And I said, what could I do that would show you that it's really for real? Well, you could let me choose my own horse, because these are a bunch of robots, you know. So I chose a horse for him that my foreman here said I was crazy to do. And when that mare, crazy mare, came to him and he got it right, he could get around a horse well, so he really got it right. He just dropped to his knees. He was sobbing in the bottom of the round pen. And I said, whoa, I went out there and gave him a man hug. And I said, what is going on with you? I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that I made that accusation. It's not true. This is for real. And I looked around at my barn foreman and said, let's do another one with him. And she said, are you nuts? You got by with that crazy horse. You'll never get by another one. Well, he's principal of his high school. His kids have moved back in with him. His wife is still married to him. And it's a real success story. He doesn't want it told, so I didn't name him. I only used his first name. But, man, those things move you. And I've won 11 world championships, and any one of them could go out the window for saving one life, one human life.
How can folks find out about this program?
Please call us. We'd still use the old-fashioned phone at 805-688-6288, or go to our website, our nonprofit. We're a 501c3 nonprofit called Join Up International, and it's www.join-up.org.
Monty Roberts and Deborah, thanks for spending some time with us.
Thank you, Matthew, for having us on.
All right, Monty Roberts there. We've quick linked it in the show story to make it very, very easy for you. Mike Chilson standing by on the line. Mike, did you hear much of that? Isn't that incredible,
really
though?
Awesome.
I mean, the work that guy is doing is just remarkable. I mean, it truly is remarkable what he's putting together down there. And I hope that folks who hear this tonight would take time to kind of think about who they know that that could need some help, because we certainly know that the vets are coming back with issues, and they need help. And if you know somebody that fits that description that Monty Roberts gave there, then send me an email or go direct to them in the quick link, and we'll make that happen. How are you, sir? How are you doing tonight?
Well, other than finding some technical problems, pretty good.
I can hear a few coming up. We'll make that. You and I have had a week of, well, I've had several weeks of tech trouble, haven't we? And you've been no different.
I'm telling you, it's just one of those days, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, what's on the show tonight? A big, big show for you, a brand new RC Skill Builder show kicking off.
Yeah, we have Adam Martin coming up, and he is the owner of warbirdpilots.com, and he specializes in pilot figures for our radio control scale airplanes. He's going to be on, and we're going to talk about his business, and we've got a lot of stuff to discuss about what's going on in Scale RC this summer, and a lot of good stuff, and we're going to try and cover all that and take some calls, hopefully, and answer some questions, and, you know, just have a good time.
You're having a doll maker on, Mike.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But this is an important part for a lot of guys, because they go to all this trouble of building the airplane, and then they put a long-haired troll doll in the cockpit, and it just doesn't look right, does it? That's what you have in all of yours.
Yeah, don't get me started about the troll doll.
That's my
little pet peeve.
The Ken doll in there with the... Yeah, Mike's a bigger fan of Cabbage Patch Kids than all of his
right, but, right.
All right, good stuff. So tonight, an all-new RC Scale Builder show underway here. At the top of the hour, what are you working on right now, Mike? Because it's been so long since, that you've been on the station, and you've been really busy. I mean, for the folks that don't know, Mike took a few months off because he has been just lambasted at work right now.
Yeah. I've been working on work. But when I do get some free time, trying to finish up my P-51A, I've pretty much got all the construction done, and I'm kind of at the finishing stage now. So I've just been working on it, trying to get it ready. And my buddy Goran from Sweden is coming to visit in October, so we'll try and get him on the show.
And that means you get nothing done for another month because Goran
– Pretty much.
And you just kind of do your own thing for a few weeks.
Yeah, you know, I take some time off, and we kind of hang out and do a bunch of stuff. So,
all right, well, good.
It's going to be fun. But yeah, we got a great show tonight. I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully, got a lot of people listening. So, I really tried to talk it up. So, maybe we'll get two or three.
Yeah, two or three will listen tonight at the top of the hour for sure. All right, Mike. Well, I'm looking forward to it, and I really, again, I hope that folks. Who know someone that would qualify for Monty's program will do that. And then I also hope that you will pull out your Visa or MasterCard and call Mr. Colson up and book us an Ultimate Flying Experience weekend, because I think that'd be a lot of fun, Mike.
Well, I'll tell you what, I got a gift card from AT&T the other day, a Visa gift card. Do you think he'd take that?
I think he would. And probably a couple of bars of gold bullion to boot. But
man, that would be awesome, though.
Wouldn't that be fun? Get Dave Platt up there flying along with us. And,
oh, Lord.
Oh, that'd be fun. You ought to build a Martin Mars. That ought to be your next little seaplane. I bet Dino could crank one of those out in a few weeks.
Yeah. Dino's too busy laying tile right now.
And Jerry Bates could draw the plans up. And we'd all have a Martin Mars on our hands. That'd be fun.
That's right.
Yeah.
It would be fun.
Go drop water on the neighbors. I'm ready. Sign me up, Mike.
Hey, I'm looking forward to the show tonight, and you know what? I'm really excited about it, and I'm so excited that I'm going to have to go get an adult beverage.
All right, well, you go do that, and then we'll get everything ironed out on the technical side, and we'll be back at the top of the hour with an all-new RC Scale Builder show. Thanks again, Mike. Look forward to it. Mike Chilson, everybody, he's up next on Warbird Radio Live, and we're looking forward to this. It's going to be a busy night with lots of new shows. My thanks to each and every one of you, especially to Wayne Colson for coming on tonight. Find out more about Wayne's Martin Mars and the Philippine Mars by visiting his website. The Ultimate Flying Experience is quick linked into the show story tonight for all of your Martin Mars needs. You can find him right there. Also, Monty Roberts, what a guy. What a man. I'm telling you, an incredible human. Just can't say enough good about this guy. You got to check his site out. And of course, if you know a vet, be sure and send us an email. Thank one, too, and we'll talk to you next week. So long for now.